reviewing the Business Jazz podcast with Roger Overall. We have literally finished our conversation about 20 seconds ago. And Roger, your overall reaction. I think I heard you breathe a sigh of relief there a second ago.
No, not a sigh of relief. The sigh of relief will happen when I get the one copy of the podcast off my recording device and onto my computer in the office, because then there will be a backup. We did not record a backup this
right,
week.
So we slipped up by accident this week. We got distracted and we forgot to turn on the backup.
We did get distracted. Right. So that's one. That's one thing. The other thing, it got incredibly noisy in here again for the second week running. In fact, I think it was noisier this week. I think people are going to struggle to hear our conversation over the conversation two tables away. So I don't know. This is starting to worry me, I'll be honest. I love our location by the fire in a castle. But if we are an audio program, not a visual program, and I'm starting to have concerns.
Are we getting any feedback from people that the ambient sound is distracting them from the content?
Our producer commented on it last week.
Right.
He did make a comment.
And he would be able to stand back from it and be able to anticipate.
He is very, very honest in his feedback about the program. So, and I think anybody who listens to last week's episode or listened to it will be aware of the noise. I found it distracting listening back to it. I don't know.
Okay, so we'll have to review that and see how that is. And what about the content this week, Roger? How did you feel the content of the conversation about Chris Brogan's email went this week?
Patchy.
Yes.
How I describe it. This week was a little bit experimental because Chris's email gave you permission at the very beginning of the email to not read
to
the
delete email, it.
To delete it,
which was an interesting little tactic to have.
And it was
to review and discuss.
It was, yes. And thank goodness we had that to review and discuss, because I actually took Chris up on the. I didn't delete it. I just didn't read it because I wasn't in the right frame of mind when the email arrived to read an email that was going to sell to me. And he was very honest about in the first paragraph that it was an email that was going to sell to me, and I wasn't in the right frame of mind. So I thought, well, I should read it beforehand, and then I was actually thinking, well, do you know what, let's see what would happen if I didn't read the email. Hell of a risk to take, because we could have ended up with no programme whatsoever. But that, I think the experiment worked well. It's just that we, I think in patches, you had to do a lot of the heavy lifting, of course, because you had read the email.
For me, the biggest point that came out through it was really the relationship between selling and the community.
Yes. Yeah.
And the importance of building a community in a certain way that people will feel it's genuinely a community rather than a confidence trick being played on you in order to trick you into buying something. And I suppose the biggest single point I came up in my thinking during the podcast was about how important it is to keep up the work of providing the community with value and very occasionally then going into selling stuff. Because otherwise you're going to find that people will think that the only reason you're building a community is in order to sell to them. And that's very tricky business, because you have, on the one end, you have the idea that, look, somebody who is in business has to earn a living, right? And they have to somehow enable their business to make enough profits to plow back in, to expand the business and build it up. So they actually do need to have customers who buy things. And so that's a real imperative. And on the other side, you have the fact that everybody's trying to sell you something all the time these days. And what Chris Brogan is doing, I thought in his way of doing it, himself and Rob Hatch, is that they're actually using community building. as their differentiator. And they do it across other means as well. Chris Brogan does it on Facebook, for example, as well. There's another community there called the Secret Secret Team, I think. And that's connected.
You've given away something now.
Have I?
Supposed to be remain secret.
Is that meant to remain secret?
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of it? Oh, right. Well, we'll talk about that another time, because there is definitely. But Chris is very keen to expand that community too, you see.
No, so it can't be that secret.
So it's actually expanding slowly, you know. So this whole, I think there's a whole ethos behind Human Business Works, which is relates to the podcast that Human Business Works has, spreading the word about that, relates to over on Facebook, creating or fostering a community of people who will help each other rather than being helped by Chris. And now you have here in the regular Sunday emails further work on community building.
Sound like that you're talking about community that will help each other without Chris's intervention, or without them all relying on Chris to help them. So that then is an enticing community to join, because they're helping each other, and I'm presuming it's built up around some kind of commonality that people are helping each other with. And because it's Chris Brogan, it will be a community built around something that he's interested in, that he wants to be involved with. And by allowing the community to grow organically on its own, and by encouraging that, it's almost as if other people are growing a market for you when you're ready and when you have something to sell, to go in very gently and say, I have this thing. Because all these people, while they will understand that the community, they're participating in a community, the community is still strongly identified with you, the founder of the community. So that gives you a certain right to be able to do something. Whereas maybe if you are, if you were the number two, if you were the first person who signed up on that Facebook community, so you are in fact almost equal with Chris, because Chris on his own isn't a community. As soon as you join, that's the community. However, if you, after a number of years, suddenly came into that community and said, hey, I've got a product to sell, I don't think you get that warmer welcome for doing that.
I don't think the secret team, I think it's called, is basically people helping each other with the development of something. So they have a business problem, they have a business idea, they have a... I mean, there was a woman recently who had just produced a book about search engine optimization and ethics, if I remember rightly. So it was a kind of interesting combination of search engine, you know, those two together. And so she offered the book to members of the community for comment before publication as an ebook. So that was a kind of self-help method. Another interesting thing that happened in the secret team, I keep thinking that's what it is that Chris asked, where are you? Where are you based? And that was absolutely fascinating, because you got then people responding, saying where they were physically, and the spread of the people in the community was quite wide. And then people were discovering that they were all members of the same, this secret team community, but some of them lived just down the road from each other. So it's a whole, I think it's a whole method of developing your business, which we're slowly getting our heads around here. And certainly it's good to be able to learn from watching other communities, you know, being formed, especially here in Ireland, where there are not, as far as I can see, many similar communities. There are LinkedIn groups which do not function in the same way at all.
I think doesn't that depend on the group, though? Because, and also I think it depends on the group, the person who founded the group, and how what rules are laid down for a group in, on LinkedIn? Because I have seen people in LinkedIn groups purely go in and it's, hey, look at this thing over here that I've just done, or hey, look at this new product. And of course that just gets no reaction whatsoever. But where you can score big, I think, is in your building your reputation by when people go in and say, I have a question. And then you can respond to that. If you're responding, or you're starting discussions around an interesting topic. Say, for instance, if you're a photographer, you can start a discussion around copyright. You know, what is the best way? How should we best engage with copyright that suits both us and our clients? That you know, because we need to. So, I think it depends on how you view a group on LinkedIn as well, and how you. What the rules are and the ethos of the founder of the group and I suppose the participants. I mean, what's this, the secret team? It sounds to me as if it's a very supportive kind of environment that it elicits.
That's the idea, and the general, there don't seem to be any rules, there just seem to be a sense that, look, we're here to talk with each other about stuff that matters in a friendly, sociable way and help each other.
It's funny how rules come about in a way, because you in a way that the consensus of this community is what you've described. So that's how the community has grown up. So if I, as an outsider, were to join, my immediate understanding would be, the rules of this community are, without them being written down or what have you, is be supportive, help, these things, offer practical advice. Those are the rules for participating in this particular environment, even though they may not be written down, just by simply by being the way the group is.
Yeah, you can see the pattern of behaviour of people when new people come and join the group. Yeah. They get, you know, welcomed by other people into it, and I guess it depends very much upon a number of people contributing stuff into that community, around which people can gather, really. That kind of takes me into thinking that in the impact equation, one of the key things in that book is about how you can put ideas forward in such a way that people will gather around them. And that's another topic.
Well, that's the topic almost of last week's podcast.
Yeah.
And interestingly, by sheer coincidence, I strayed into that in the book while I was reading it over the weekend as well. So we might be level pegging in the book, or you may have already shot on and finished it.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about this week's podcast?
No.
Okay.
Anything you want to say about this week's podcast?
No, I think it was very nice to do it with you, and very nice to do it with you, and we'll just keep on going and do our very best to produce something that other people will find helpful.
True.
All right. Thanks a million. And we'll stop.
We also need to come up with some kind of social media strategies.